Last week we looked at James chapter 3 verses 1 to 12 and saw that we need to tame the tongue and that we can only control what we say by honing our hearts. This week, the next section of James talks about how we can hone our hearts, how our hearts can be healthy, not just our physical hearts through exercise or diet and that sort of thing, more our hearts and minds, our inner life, which helps our well-being and guides our decisions. How can my heart and mind be healthy, and so my life be in good order, whatever happens to me? How? Well, that's where chapter 3 and verse 13 of James sets off. If you'd like to follow it, it'd be very helpful. Helpful for you so you can understand and test what I'm saying. And helpful for me so I know that we're all engaging with Scripture, with God's Word to us. So we're on page 248 in the Church Bible's New Testament section at the back. Page 248, James chapter 3. And the chapter numbers are the big numbers every now and then. Verse 13, they're the little numbers in amongst the sentences. James writes, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom." So we need good wisdom to guide our hearts and minds, don't we? That's what James is saying. Now, our problem is that we take too much notice of bad wisdom, worldly wisdom, as James would call it. And here he goes on in verse 14, "But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind." So if things like envy are in our hearts, thinking someone else has got what I should have, and if things like selfish ambition are in here, thinking we can get ahead by treading on others, if things like these are in our hearts, we're in trouble. Envy and selfish ambition bring on boastfulness and lies and disorder and wickedness of various types. It's all very destructive. They mess us up. They mess good things up. They may get you promotion with a certain type of employer, but it's worldly wisdom, not godly wisdom. It's the wrong wisdom. And we need a different kind of wisdom if we are seeking to put things right. Right with God, right with one another. Verse 17. "But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace." How can my heart and mind be healthy like that? And my life be in good order? Well, James is saying by being ruled by godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. Our hearts need to be ruled by godly wisdom and not worldly wisdom. But then we come on to the big deception which James wishes to address, because so many of us think we can have both. We think we can have some worldly wisdom and some godly wisdom, but it doesn't work. And in this, James follows Jesus. Jesus was often saying there are two ways to live, one or the other, God or mammon, narrow path that leads to life or wide path that leads to destruction, not both, one or the other. And that's where James starts going now. The churches James was writing to were known for their conflicts. Can you see at the beginning of chapter 4? Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. So here these Christians James was writing to in the churches of the dispersion, they still have some worldly wisdom within them, showing itself in their worldly desires, selfish ambition, so that we get rid of someone in order to have what they've got. Covetousness, so that we undermine others in order to claim what is theirs. Asking in order to satisfy personal pleasure instead of good conscience. So at the same time as some worldly wisdom, they also have some godly wisdom. And it's like there's war within themselves, as their godly wisdom and their worldly wisdom pull two ways and leave their hearts and minds with such discontent. And it's like there's some war between one another as disputes are so common and peace is elusive. Can worldly wisdom and godly wisdom exist together successfully in a person? Can worldly wisdom and godly wisdom exist together happily in a church? To answer this issue, James provides an illustration at the beginning of verse 4. Adultery. Adulterers, he says, do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. So you can't have a bit of both. It's one or the other. It's like some people thinking, yes, you can have a spouse and another lover. But having both will only cause hurt and division and mess things up. Adultery is an illustration. And adultery destroys relationships and families and character and good order. And we may kid ourselves that it's okay having adulterous relationships, some of this and some of that, but it brings mess, and as far as the Lord God is concerned, it is no good. Verse 5. Or do you suppose that it is for nothing that the scripture says God yearns jealously for the spirit that he has made to dwell in us? God has made us to be his, and loves us with a love which demands faithful commitment in return. That means godly wisdom, yes, and worldly wisdom, no. God wants to help us choose godly wisdom and reject worldly wisdom. He gives us grace to help us, verse 6. But he gives all the more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. He is on the side of those with godly wisdom, who are humble. And that grace helps us to choose godly wisdom and resist worldly wisdom. Verse 7, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. God's grace cures our double-mindedness, thinking we can go two ways at once, by helping us turn from worldly wisdom. Verse 8, clean our dirty hands, purify our two-timing hearts, giving single-mindedness in place of double-mindedness, being sad about our sin and self-deception, verse 9, and humbling myself before the Lord in order that he will exalt me, verse 10, and stopping speaking wrongly of others, verse 11. All of these things are God's work in us as we choose godly wisdom and resist and turn away from worldly wisdom, remembering that it's the Lord who judges, not us. He saves and he destroys. We just need to respond well to the Lord, humble ourselves before his word and his ways, by choosing godly wisdom and rejecting worldly wisdom. Yeah, can you see how this central section of James's letter, which is where he really gets down to brass tacks, is such a help in practical approach to life? Do you want to be wise, James is saying? He shows how we can be wise. Godly wisdom, yes. Worldly wisdom, no. Do you want to cause conflict or peace? James shows how you can help a harvest of righteousness which sows peace, not conflict. Godly wisdom, yes. Worldly wisdom, no. Do you want to receive God's grace now in order to avoid his judgment on the last day? James shows us how we can humble ourselves before Jesus and his word by hearing it and grasping it and doing it and not doing the other. Tame the tongue by honing the heart. Hone the heart by choosing godly wisdom, not worldly wisdom. That's what the Lord wants us to do. How much do you want to be helped? Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for the letter of James and its practical good sense and godliness. Thank you, Lord, that by your grace you give us these good things and help us to receive your word humbly and do it for your name's sake. Amen.